Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hot Body Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Melchester Odyssey. Maybe it's the 100th episode. I've literally got no idea. We are looking at the best of the Royal Rovers 1980s. I'll tell you what though, Sam. This is the last instalment in the book.
Mm. Will it be our last episode though? We don't know.
No. Will it fuck? I've got all the issues over there. So unless there's some kind of fire, then
no, but what I mean is, will it be our last episode focused on this book? Will we get through this strip in one episode?
I think we should vow to get through it because it looks as if it's a quite standard.
Yeah, nothing like that. All the loose ends more or less have been tied up. We know who tried to shoot, who tried to kill Roy. We know Vic Guthrie's back. The whole situation with what's his name is sorted out. You know, the Scottish lad's dad, Arthur Logan.
Kenny Logan's
old man. We know that Melchester are getting promoted because they absolutely pissed the old second division. You know, won every game. So it's all sort of, now they're just playing out a game against Rotherham Rovers and they're 3-0 up anyway. So it's all a bit of a, you know, it's a, what do they call it? After the Lord Mayor's show.
After the Lord's Mayor's show, it's kind of like that. Or they would say they're playing, they've got their towels on the beaches at this point.
But we'll see what happens. So there's not much to report, although I do find the final couple of captions really exciting and intriguing, but we'll get to that.
Yes, no spoilers just yet, though. So it says at the top there in speech marks, "What's the matter with Guthrie? What a pathetic tackle!" So we'll see what that's about. And then, of course, there's the little yellow box at the top left, which tells us what's going on, brings us up to speed. It says, "Already assured of promotion to the First Division, Melchester Rovers had no intention of, in speech marks, coasting their last match of the season." Any kind of vernacular that's not the Queen's English gets the treatment of the speech marks, doesn't it?
Exactly, but they do it with so many words because, as we have discussed, language is an organic, ever-evolving entity. And so there are things that we take for granted now as, like, just normal parts of the English language, standard conventional language, that, you know, not that long ago were pretty out there, far out, kind of like outrageous uses of language. And so you notice that when you're in something like this, they put every fucking second word in it in quote marks.
Yeah.
And you think, Jesus,
it's good,
this
though, because they're heralding a new era of language almost by doing that.
Yeah, they are.
They're kind of legitimising words like coasting, which were common parlance back then.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying to the kids, here's the new words, go forth and use them. You have our blessing.
Yeah. New word.
So it says they're coasting their last match of the season against Rotherham Rovers. Against Rotherham. Rovers were leading 3-0 when Roy brought on a familiar figure in place of Nat Gosden. Now, before we see the familiar figure come on, I mean, you know who it is. You heard it in the last episode. I'm looking at the advertising hoardings there. There's lots of banners in the crowd. Rovers, Rotherham, all the fans mixed
in
together.
They're all mixing together. There'll be some aggro there.
Recipe for disaster, and some of the advertising hoardings, we've got Gola there, who seem to be the official sponsor. They've done the kit of Melchester now. We've got Mindley's. Don't know what Mindley's is. Feels like a department store. But then it says Bourneville. Which, of course, is a brand of chocolate. Now, has David Skew put that in there in the hope that the Bourneville people will see it and reward him accordingly.
Or he's done
on
a
the
deal.
Sly.
Hello.
Or he's done a deal.
Hello, yeah. Is that Bourneville? Can you put me through to the public relations department, please? Tell them it's David Skew from Roy of the Rovers magazine.
Yeah, that's S-Q-U-E. I do nudes.
I do out. Anything you want, even nudes, if you want something houses. Special for, say, if you've got a wedding anniversary coming up, something like that, let us know. We can brainstorm. Spitball, I think the Americans call it, and we'll come up with something dead good. Anyway, put me through to your
mainly
public
nudes.
Relations unit. Yeah, now listen, I've got an opportunity for you. I'm just completing a strip, and one of the advertising hoardings that I am drawing is as yet unsold. So, in return...
Which got me thinking.
Which got me to thinking. Bourneville Chocolate, a brand that I'm hearing more and more about. Going up in the world. People are talking about you. People are curious. They want to know more. Now, if you could see your way fit to send over a box load of the stuff.
I have got a direct line to be able to influence the 8 to 11-year-old market, which I believe is quite untapped for your own particular brand of dark chocolate.
When my nephew...
Do you understand?
I got a nephew, Casey, and he's now like... I mean, I think he's like 21 or something now, but when he was a little boy... I said to him, he was only about 3 or something, and I remember going to him, what's your favourite chocolate, mate? It was before I had kids, and I had a certain, like, set of questions that I'd ask to engage children with, right? And I go, what's your favourite chocolate, mate? And he went, what? And I went, what's your favourite chocolate? And he went, dark chocolate. And I remember being so shocked that I blurted out, what, fucking Bourneville?
You bad cunt.
And his mum said, his mum didn't have a go at me for swearing. She just went, he won't know what Bourneville is. I was like, I've never heard of a fucking kid whose favourite chocolate was dark chocolate. There's something wrong with that one in the nut. I'm telling you, you want to get him looked at. That's not normal. What is he, an 8-year-old Doris?
He's a fucking reincarnation of something.
I tell you what, though, it's interesting because he grew up really clever, so maybe you know, he was under... Well, I should have guessed it. I thought I should have known that cunt was a brain box. He liked dark chocolate when he was still in fucking nappies. Yeah. We should have had him marked out as a clever clogs right from the get-go, mate. Yeah.
So, yeah. David Skews rang up Bourneville and subtly suggested that he includes them on the advertising hoardings there. So, yeah, the substitute's coming on. The Lampard's in the crowd say, Vic Guthrie, the Melchester super brat. And another one who is standing about 50 feet away adds to that. One of the men originally suspected of trying to kill Roy.
Yeah, we fucking know that, dickhead.
They're having a big conversation 50 feet apart in this fucking packed stadium. And then we get a close-up of some of the Lampards, which we don't often see them, to be honest. We don't get a good look at these fucking freaks in the crowd. But there they are, having a good head-to-head. Guthrie was asking for it. He made some pretty nasty threats against Roy when he was disciplined. So they're saying that he was asking to be suspected of trying to kill Roy. I suppose that's fair.
It's really out of order.
Well, it escalates. The next one, the other fella says, he could thank himself lucky Roy's giving him a chance to make a fresh start, even though he wasn't involved in the attempted murder
at
of Roy
all.
At all.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he give him a fresh start?
These people are just absolute arsehole Lampards. The Melchester fan base are pathetic.
Yeah.
Mind you, the geezer, they were all wearing their bobble hats, which I suppose at this time, they always have, you know, things like this have always presented football fans in a sort of a daft kind of 1950s sort of way, where they're always wearing the stripy bar scarves and the bobble hats, and they always get it wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, one of them there now is wearing a tam o' shanter.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I do remember these sorts of tam o' shanter hats, not with the bobble, but a sort of like a flat cap, but made of a man-made fibre. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had a West Ham one, and it was like an FA Cup final-like one, and it was a flat cap, but it was made of a shiny man-made fibre with West Ham Cup Final 1980 written on it. And that is quite realistic.
Like the Beer City Rollers might have worn.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They should bring them back. They're decent. We might get some Top Flight Time Machine ones made.
But there's a fella there who's got a fucking lustrous head of hair, and he's not going to cover that up with any kind of headgear. He's got, it's almost an Elvis-style slicked back. Yeah.
He's a throwback.
Quiff thing going on.
He's a throwback. Yeah. I like him. He's all right, that bloke.
He's
the best.
He's got brill cream in that, hasn't
but
he?
But look, then to the right of him, in the background, there is a Native American. And he is just staring quite sternly into the middle distance.
Like he's almost Charlie Carter's brother-in-law or something.
I mean,
yeah.
Tell me you can see him, because it's so weird. I'm sort of thinking, am I imagining him?
He's staring right into your soul, isn't
he? He's not interested in the conversation going on among the fans. He's not even looking at the match. He is there. We don't know why he's there. And he's just staring into space. Sometimes I come here to think. Sometimes I go to Ammel Park Football Stadium, stand amongst the paleface and think.
Sometimes the loudest environment can be the most peaceful place.
It make my soul still, so I can hear clearly the trickling of the water of my spirit.
I experience the stillness amongst the audible maelstrom of Melchester.
All right. And what brought you to Melchester in the first place, like? Seeing as you know, where you're I'm guessing you're from America. Long story. I'm too long to tell now.
So Guthrie, it says, was soon in action. There he is with the number 12 substitute shirt on. So there's a Rotherham player running at him, and already the fucking Lampards are telling him what to do. Now make the most of it, Guthrie. Make the most of your fresh start. Show us that you're still our best central defender. Fucking do what you want, mate.
Yeah.
Fucking pander to these pricks. But it says, and the Rotherham player has got a nice Kevin Keegan style perm, just dances around Guthrie.
I think he looks exactly like, what's his name? Not Lewis Collins, the other one in The Professionals.
Martin Shaw.
He looks like Martin Shaw.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A bit like Mick Robertson off of Magpie as well.
Yeah.
And he dances past him, and Guthrie goes, "Oomph!"
What a pathetic tackle, says someone in the crowd. It wouldn't have stopped a fourth division striker. Fucking hell, who'd be a footballer? Honestly, though, like being a footballer is a nightmare to a large, especially in these days when they didn't even get paid, they weren't even rich. I mean, they were relatively rich, but they weren't like crazy fucking rich like they are nowadays.
Yeah, they just lived in on housing estates among the fans, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. And, like, every fucker's got an opinion on every last thing you do. And if you do anything other than perfect, you are deemed to be... Not only is it deemed to be completely unacceptable, you, as a human being, are deemed to be scum. Subhuman scum. Because you kicked a ball wrongly.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't do it perfectly.
He kicked it wrong!
That's not like how they do it in the World Cup.
That's not how you're supposed to kick it, you're scum, you're subhuman scum. You don't deserve to be alive.
I'm here to take out all of my frustrations for my everyday life on you. And I paid for the privilege, so you'll take it. So, they dance past him and put in the back of the net. Charlie Carter's badly positioned, really. It says, and it's there. Rotherham have pulled one back. Oh, you know, fuck off. It's 3-1. They've won the league already. They're going up.
Who gives a shit?
Get your fucking knickers in a twist.
Stop fucking taking it so seriously. You lot should be gearing up for a fucking pitch invasion, mate.
Yeah. I'm looking at the hoardings behind the fucking goal there. It's got Michael's Motor Shop.
Michael's Motor Shop.
Yeah, it's Michael here. What's your name?
Yeah.
And,
Do you need a car, press one. If you need a bit for an engine, press two.
And Richard's removals, by the looks of it. We can only see the remove bit, but I guess that's removals.
Hello.
Hello, Richard here. What do you want moving?
No, can't do it. No, sorry.
No.
Sounds like sort of place.
Too big.
Those sorts of places that you call up and they're annoyed that you've called up. That's like, I think that a lot of people say they bemoan the decline of the small independent trader who have been crushed by the large sort of conglomerate, multinational,
corporate
whatever.
Monsters. Yeah.
But from my experience and with respect, you know, I've always been a sort of a freelancer myself in one form or another. So, you know, but most sort of independent outfits that are run by an individual or a couple of individuals, when you ring them up, they have the hump that you've asked them to do something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's like that hardware store you visited recently.
Yeah, it's just like,
trying to get your mousetraps.
What's this absolute cunt want? And then they wonder why, when fucking big screw fix opened up down the road, you might be happier to get in your car and drive 10 minutes up the road to screw fix where it'll be cheaper and they'll be really friendly to you.
Facilities.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and it's the same with places like your Richard Removals or your Michael's Motorshow. You call up Richard's Removals. Hello? Hello, is that Richard's Removals? Who's asking? Oh, anyway, my name's Sam, and I need to do a removal, but what do you need? Spit out, mate. What I mean to say is, could you do a removal from my house to another? No, I can't do it, mate. Well, I haven't told you when yet. Well, mate, unless it's sometime in, like, 2024, there's no way I can do it. I'm booked up. I'm booked up, mate. Can't help
full,
you.
Mate.
I'll try someone else. Yeah, bye. Don't call again, cunt. Fucking hell. No wonder I go to giant removals now. Removal
giant. They sent an actual giant out.
Hello, hello, removal giant. The call centre's in Bangladesh, but I don't mind because the customer service is still A1.
The line is crackly, but they're very good.
They're very friendly. Their English is excellent.
So there, moments later, as Guthrie tried to clear across, he's jumped for a header again. His hair's too fucking long, and he's an haircut.
Yeah.
It bounces off his forehead. Another half-hearted effort. Guthrie's face is just despair, isn't it? He's confused.
If I was him, I'd be looking to move back to Wales. Get a fucking,
not even Welsh, is he?
Get a big big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
Like, because he's here at Mel Park, you're always going to be basically in the shadow of Roy. The fans are wankers. Mm. He's a decent player, but, you know, they're very unforgiving. And all this stuff, if your own manager has basically put you in the frame as a murderer, right? Then I just think you can't move on from that. You just think, do you know what, boss? Get me a fucking move. I'll take a pay cut.
There's a schism. There's a schism there that can't be mended.
Mm.
Yeah. Some schisms are mendable, but that's not a mendable schism. So he's just nodded away, and it's fallen to a Rotherton player who hits a shot. But Charlie Carter is down low and knocks it wide of the post. It looks like it comes off his head, actually. And the crowd shouts, "Oh, what a save! Charlie Carter got the super brat out of trouble that time." Fucking hell. What's the matter with Guthrie? Well, he's had a lot on his fucking plate, to be quite honest.
Imagine the stress, you prick in the crowd shouting the odds. Imagine the stress of being publicly suspected of murder. So you've got it come from all angles. You don't know. On the basic level, you don't know about the future of your job, your employment, your ability to put food on the table.
Or your liberty.
Right. Well, that comes next. Then you've got the public humiliation of being in the press and it just being your name being dragged through mud in the tabloid press. Every day you're in there, you walk through the street, people are looking at you like, oh, he's a killer, right? And then, biggest worry of all, you're thinking, well, there's miscarriages of justice all the time. Don't forget, this is only a few years after the Guildford 4 and the Birmingham 6 have been banged up.
Exactly.
For doing fucking nothing for life, right? So he's well aware that at this period in British history, the police force is totally out of control with its abuse of power. And the judiciary clearly isn't fit for purpose. And as to the politicians and the government, they're willing to turn a blind eye, right? And so he's thinking, fuck me, I could go to jail. I could be in there with the Guildford 4, right? This time next week. So imagine, you wouldn't be able to sleep. You'd be on the fucking Valium, right? You'd be having
even
to...
Even if you're a hard man.
Even if you're a hard man like him, you just wouldn't be able to sleep from the stress. And then even when you come through it, that's trauma. So you don't just, the day when you've been let off the hook, you don't automatically think, oh, everything's back to normal. That's post-traumatic stress disorder. You've been badly injured. Your soul and your mind have been injured by the experience, right? So it's no wonder he's having a fucking off day. These people need to show a bit more sympathy.
Jalapeño.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
And there it says Roy had a good idea. Is Roy going to show him some sympathy? Let's see. Guthrie's got his fucking hand on his own forehead. He can't believe what's going on. And Roy comes over and says, all right, Vic, we've had enough of you trying to be a good boy and make up for the past. Is that what he's been trying to do? Has he been trying to tackle correctly? You know, within the laws and the spirit of the laws of the game?
Roy, by the way, just to note again, and we noticed this last time, Roy is totally unapologetic for everything he put Vic through. Doesn't see that he played a role in it at all. No. To be fair, Vic, you put yourself in the frame by that. By walking off from our tour of Scotland in the summer, right? You, let's be fair, did make yourself look like a murderer. So you can't blame me or the British public for putting two and two together, can you? Right, that's on you.
Completely the act of a murderer.
But I am willing to forgive you as long as you stop being a fucking dickhead.
So he's told him, we've had enough of you trying to be a good boy and make up for the past. The past in which you did, let's face it, very little wrong. But, you know, mud sticks, mate. And Guthrie says, sorry, Roy, it's just that I've got this feeling that I'm on trial all over again.
In a way, you are.
You were never on trial. You were a suspect. You were questioned, that's all. There was no trial. You were never charged.
Now, listen, right?
For fuck's sake.
Mud does stick, and it can be bad. Now, I know for a fact that you don't get paid nearly as much as I do. Of course you don't, right? But I do have... There are stories being sold to newspapers every fucking day of the week about me. Shit that I've done. Shit that I don't want Penny to find out about. Shit I don't want the Inland Revenue to find out about. And a hell of a lot that I wouldn't want the Flying Squad or, to be honest, the Murder Squad knowing about. Ask your Uncle Blackie about that if you don't know what I'm referring to. But it's very simple, right? The papers get hold of a story. They are obliged to give me right to reply. They go through my fixer. The fixer then gets back to them and I will offer them a story in return as a courtesy, usually on the private life of one of you or one of my other players, right? Which I will exchange with them. And I leak stories about the club and you as individuals to the tabloid press in order to keep them sweet and keep my own name out of the paper. So what I'm saying is, Vic, there's ways and means about dealing with this sort of stuff, right? It's called communication management, yeah?
It might seem wrong, but look, it works. We've just won the second division championship. Nothing could go wrong. He says, not with me, Vic. Take my tip and start living up to your nickname. Let's have a little more of the old super brat and less of the nice guy. So he's giving him carte blanche to just fucking start fouling.
Fill your boots,
playing
Con.
Dirty. Yeah. A few moments later, and Guthrie's barging one of the other players. I think it's that one that danced around him earlier, and he's barged him off the ball. The player falls to the ground and goes, ooh! Vic goes, well, Vic doesn't say anything, he just barges him down, and someone in the crowd says, nothing wrong with that tackle, or was there? The fuck does that mean? Fucking hell. Sit on the fucking fence, you cunt. And the Rotherton player says, what about it, ref? It must be a free kick. The ref says, it was hard, very hard, but perfectly fair. Play on.
He keeps in a bit of suspense then, doesn't he? He likes to toy with them. Yeah. It was hard, and he leaves a pause. He goes, dot, dot, dot.
Very hard.
It was very hard, dot, 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 but it was fair. Play on. Ooh, ref, stop toying with us. He's on the run as he says it as well.
He is. An attempt to stop in bold type. Stop, Vic, met a similar fate. And it says, Guthrie's strength really counted then. He shielded the ball superbly and laid it off to Roy. And he did, and there's two Rotherton players fucking strewn in his wake as he plays it to the side of Roy. And guess what Roy does? Bang, back of the net. There it is. 4-0, great goal, Racy. And look at the goalkeeper's face as he looks round and sees the ball in the back of the net. He's livid.
Fuck it.
Fucking hell. He's prone, lying on the ground, livid. And Roy has a little think. Roy thinks, but Vic Guthrie made it. I reckon the super brat is back in business.
And it's all thanks to me.
All thanks to my little pep talk just a minute ago there.
Old Roy's man management strikes again. I should run a fucking course on this shit.
I wish they'd invent the internet. It would be much easier to do it that way.
People will pay for out if they think it's going to fucking change their life for the better. The idiots.
I was looking at someone does a Twitter account where they print old pages from the radio and TV times.
Mm.
So you can look at all listings on this day.
Yeah.
And it was about 1984, and it was a Channel 4 new series, The Stocks and Shares Show.
Whoa.
All about investing in stocks and shares. Contestants are given a fictional £10,000 to invest, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end it says, for more information, please send a stamp-addressed envelope to Channel 4, add blah, 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 the address. So you can send off for a leaflet and find out all about stocks and shares.
What's a stock and what's a share? What's the difference between the two? Have all of your questions answered and more.
Find out in this four-page leaflet.
I decided yesterday that I wanted to introduce Len to Hello Hello because we were just doing funny accents, basically. And I said, if it's funny accents you like, you want to fucking check out Hello Hello, mate. I thought he'll love it.
Yeah.
So Hello Hello...
And sexy waitresses.
And sexy waitresses, exactly. So I looked on... I nearly had to text you. I thought, he'll fucking know where it is, won't he? Because it wasn't on iPlayer, right? Yeah. And it wasn't on Amazon or Netflix. And then I thought, it's because it's problematic, right? Everyone's dumped it. So I looked on YouTube. I didn't even know this was a thing. But on YouTube, it was a paid-for thing, right?
Right, yeah.
So you pay for the series.
Yeah.
I thought there was also a free version that was, like, quite bad quality. I thought, I'll give the first episode a go for free in case he doesn't like it. Well, I started. It's the first ever episode of Hello Hello, right? Mm. It opens and the two comedy Nazi fellas are at a table at Rene's place, right? And they're having a chinwag and Rene comes over and is doing his sort of charming thing to them. And they can get contraband, right? So he's going to them, I'm low on butter, can you get me some butter? And they go, yeah, okay, fine. And he goes, also, can you get me some paraffin, right? And they go, well, paraffin's hard to come by, right? So he says to the older Nazi, do you remember there's a little one? And then there was the more senior one, yeah. Commander or colonel or something. And he goes, oh, it's very hard to come by, Rene. And he goes, oh, well, just to say, remember, Commander, your room upstairs, room 12, is ready and available to you whenever in case you need to rest in the day. And then he saw the Nazi's eyebrows kind of raise a bit. And then he looks around to the bar and the two waitresses are there, Vicky Michelle and the other one, right? And he goes, whatever Vicky Michelle's called, I can't remember. He goes, and she is was only just asking about you the other day. So she'd be keen to make sure that you were very comfortable, right? And this is the first minute. And I've turned to my wife and gone, it's a fucking knocking shop. And this had never occurred to me at the time. They establish early on in this comedy about the Second World War that this is a man who runs a whorehouse for Nazis, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe the working title of it when it was in development at the BBC was Whorehouse for Nazis. We have a new comedy. What are the name of the fellas who write it again? It's the You Have Been Watching mob.
Fucking hell.
What are they called again, the guys who write it?
It's David Croft and Jimmy Perry, isn't it?
Croft and Perry. Yeah, we've got a new Dad's Army's come to an end because everyone in it died. But don't worry, we've got a new thing also set in the World War, in the Second World War. Well, and some Marmaduke Hussey's gone, sounds fantastic. If you guys are in charge, then I've got every faith in it. Consider it a commission. Just one thing, for our listings department, could you give us a title? Well, it's just a working title at the moment, Sir Marmaduke. Well, give it to us anyway. Yes, it's called Whorehouse for Nazis. Or Nazi Whorehouse, whichever you prefer.
Well, we were hoping for something for pre-watershed, but maybe with a change of title we can get away with it.
And what's it about? It's about a French collaborator in the Second World War who runs a sex shop for Nazi soldiers. Okay, I suppose there could be laughs in that. I was astonished, and like there were too many questions. Then, like, what is like? I didn't. Then started asking questions about the dynamic that existed between this Nazi, this perpetrator of genocide, right?
Yeah,
and that guy's in there. He's part of this mob that want to wipe the Jewish race off the face of the earth, right?
God.
But why are they being presented as funny jocular characters? Well, because, you know, everyone's got different sides to their personality. When they're not trying to wipe out an entire race, they're just having fun in this cafe. And they're
prostitutes.
They're exchanging paraffin for sex with them waitresses who are French. And this geezer who runs the cafe, he's the conduit and he's creaming most of the money off it. Very little of the dough, all the paraffin ends up in the possession of the women. But they haven't got much choice, to be honest. War is an ugly thing.
He's also working for the resistance. So it's quite standard that this makes it through 10 series without him getting killed.
He's playing them all off against each other. Oh, and by the way, he's also having it off with the waitresses too. He's
and
married.
The woman from the resistance who comes in through the window around the back.
He's married. He has it off with all of them. He's married, he has it off with all of them. He'll sometimes have it off with Vicky Michelle on the same day that she's been with one of the Nazis. He don't care.
It's a war run.
She's trapped. She is absolutely trapped in this situation, right? I mean, she's in a very dark place. I don't like this show, Daddy.
I think it's on BritBox. I think it'll be on BritBox. But there's that website, Just Watch, that I've recommended before.
Oh, I was trying to remember that.
If you ever want to know where anything is, Just Watch.
Just
is
Watch.
Your friend.
Yeah.
So, it's 4-0. Is it 4-0? I thought that Rotherham had scored a goal.
Yeah, 4-1, I think.
Oh, fucking factual error there.
Oh, well, it's apparently over now. Don't matter.
Yeah. And it says, at full time, even the Rotherham fans joined in the tumult of applause. Manchester, first division, here we come, says Jimmy Slade.
Come on, let's join
back
in
where
the
we belong. Back where we belong, eh, Jimmy, if that's who you are. And then they're in the changing rooms afterwards, and they're all getting dressed into their civvies, probably straight off down the feathers. And Blackie says, there must have been 20,000 Manchester fans here for an away match. We ought to think ourselves lucky, considering all the clubs which are struggling to survive these days.
Fucking hell, right? Shut up, will you? What's it? Why, what have you got on political for, you prick? All that matters is that we're back in the worst division, so we can start... First of all, I've awarded myself a big fucking pay rise as well.
Promotion bonus. I mean, I'm not saying I got us relegated on purpose, so I could pick up a bonus 10 months later, but, you know, stranger things happen.
I've got some fucking money to make up for as well, because of the fucking medical bills after I got shot in the head. Right, yeah. Didn't you go on the NHS? Did I? Fuck. I'm not going in with them fucking cunts. That's for fucking peasants, isn't it? Like the dickheads who come and watch us. I went to fucking the Royal Masonic in Melchester. Fucking proper treatment, got me on rum and everything.
They still use fucking leeches on them cunts down at the General.
They'll fucking serve you up fucking right. Down at the fucking Royal Masonic, they give you a fucking cup with a China cup of tea when you come to as well. Like fucking Wimpy's.
So Blackie does his little speech there about clubs struggling to survive, etc. And Roy says, aye, they need help, Blackie. This summer, one club in particular is going to get all the help I can give it. Right. And then, in the final panel, he says, only this time, I'll be using a different ball. And he produces a fucking cricket ball out of his locker.
Right, do you not think, having been shot in the head, then left the team to promotion, you might have had a bit of a rest? No, I'm going to be playing top-level fucking cricket all summer. And you can bet, fucking sure as eggs is eggs, I'm going to be fucking brilliant at it.
Ian fucking Botham does both of them, and that's where I'm nicking the idea from. Just like how I nicked the Dallas thing for the shooting.
There's one thing I've proved this year is you can nick out your like and get away with it if you're Roy Race, that is.
So he's got a cricket ball in his hand and it says, yes, it really is cricket in next week's Roy of the Rovers.
Quite a clever idea.
Subscribe.
It's quite a clever idea though, because you've got to get through summer, and in those days in particular, I don't mean it's the case anymore, but kids used to switch from football to cricket.
Yeah.
You know, you hear people saying as soon as the fucking football ended, like literally the day after the football ended, the FA Cup final, people would just, without even discussing it, kids would just switch to playing cricket. I don't know if they watched cricket. I mean, I used to sometimes play cricket in the park, but I never like really got into watching it much. But it was quite a smart idea by...
Yeah.
But for me, I missed football so much during the summer. I mean, to be honest... I'm embarrassed to say so, but I still do. When there's a big gap, I get skittish. Yeah. For me, reading football comics, I got even more into that in the summer than I would during the football season, because it filled the hole, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I used to play tennis as well in the summer when Wimbledon was on. You would just do whatever was kind of...
Oh, yeah, go and smack it against the wall, I would, yeah, and pretend to be Pat Cash.
Of course. So, yeah, that's it. Roy is going to turn to cricket in the next episode. That's the last one in the book. So if you've got the book, hope you've enjoyed following it along.
Yeah.
We'll try and tweet out the scans of the stories, because I've got all the old issues here somewhere. And we're going to keep going, so I'll tweet them out so people can follow it. That's it. It's the end of an era, but it's not, because we're just going to plough ahead.
How long has that taken us? When did we start doing that book? More than a year ago, wasn't it?
I'm not sure what episode this is that we're doing now. Let's have a quick look. I think we're up to about episode 90, 85.
So about a year and a half, a bit more than a year and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, that's episode 85.
Well, it's been quite a journey.
It's not over. It's we're at a crossroads or something. All right, that's enough. That's enough fucking jibber-jabber.
Yeah, this is bollocks.
Bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.